Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Things that I am grateful for, five things I'm thankful for, five things that are a blessing to me. And it's the first Sunday of the year, and so far, so good. I've gotten all my five things in every day. Sometimes that is just that I kept my kids alive today. That is sometimes just truly a blessing. I didn't kill anybody. I thought about it. But I got over it. So, no, please. Sorry. But I just wanted to say I'm really, really blessed. And we all are. And, you know, listening to Michael's sermon last week about Cuba and the things that we have going on, we are all so, so blessed and have so many things to thank God for every day. Five really isn't a lot, but sometimes it's hard to get them all down. But I do it. So yesterday, as I was driving, I was getting groceries and all the stuff you need for your house. I'm like, man, this is what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to go do this. I'm thankful that I have a job that provides that for me. I'm thankful I have reliable transportation. Thankful that I have a church. Thankful that I have family and friends who love me. And there's five right there. Why can't we just put those down? So anyway, I just kept thinking, gosh, God has just been good to me. And the song that kept coming to mind was this really old song. I'm not going to say how old it is, but I know I probably haven't sung it for 20 years. It's called Doubly Good to You. It's by Amy Grant, and I'm hoping Jenny will sing in the back there with me. I know Helen did in the first service, but it's a beautiful song, and I hope you'll just listen to the words, and I hope you realize how doubly blessed you are.
If you see the moon rising gently on your fields, if the wind blows softly on your face, if the sunset lingers while cathedral bells peal, and the moon has risen to her place, you can thank the Father for the things that he has done. Thank him for the things he's yet to do. And if you find a love that's tender, if you find someone who's true, thank the Lord, he's been doubly good to you. Jesus by your side. Well, you can thank the Father for the things that he has done. And thank him for the things he's yet to do. And if you find a love that's tender, if you find someone who's true, thank the Lord. Been doubly good to you. You can thank the Father for the things that he has done. Thank him for the things he's yet to do. And when you find the love that's tender, when you find someone who's true, thank the Lord. He's He's been doubly good to you. Thank the Lord, He's been doubly good to you.
Hasn't God been good to you today? And I know it's that time of year where people are making their plans as well. And I started thinking about, if there was something to do here, what would Jesus do? Did Jesus talk about the culture of the church from time to time? And certainly he did. Remember when Jesus came into to the temple? He walked in there, and I'm talking about in Matthew chapter 21. He walked in and into the temple, and he found money changers, and he found all kinds of things, and they were cheating one another. And he lifted up his hands, he drove them out, he turned over the tables, and he said, "Look, my house should be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." Jesus commented on the culture. Everybody say culture. On the culture of church. He was frustrated, and he pointed some things out. The Apostle Paul, when the Apostle Paul had established churches, he would plant churches, and he would have communication with them. And then from time to time, he would write them letters, and he found out that they were moving into to carnality, or they were having divisions among themselves, or even false teaching was going on. He would write them letters, and he would confront the culture of the church. In the Gospel of John. John 15, we see Jesus is having his upper room discourse. He's having conversations, and the disciples start saying, which one of us is going to, they have an argument about who's going to be the greatest, while Jesus is trying to teach them about service. And so he challenges them, and he says, "Hey gang, look, time out here. We got to look at the culture, because some things that you ought to be doing, you're not doing, and some things that you are doing, you ought not be doing." And so as I thought about that, I began to have a time of prayer and began to ask the Lord, reveal to me, are there some things in our church culture, not that there's, you know, some big glaring error, but are there some things that we could be doing better? And if there's some things that we could be doing better, I want to be about that. I mean, I want to get to the end of my life and have the Lord say, "Well done," instead of get to the end of my life and have the Lord say, "Well done." You know what I mean? And we need that in our walk with Christ. We have to be very, very intentional. And so as I began to pray about this, there were three areas that I believe the Holy Spirit was shining a spotlight on, that I'd like to kind of point out here. And so as we look this first week, we're going to look at the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Let's all read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" All right. This is an important thing that we know as the Great Commission. And yet, there's a couple elements as I looked at it, kind of jumped off the page. The first thing is that these disciples were following Christ's directions, okay? Jesus directed them. He said, "Hey, you know, go into this mountain in Galilee." They were doing what Jesus told them to do, what they were directed by the Spirit to do, okay? But not fully. And I believe that there's a time, a lot of us, that we are doing what God told us to do, but not fully. We're where God has us to be, but we're not fully. Everybody say fully. Are we fully embracing the calling and the why? Sometimes we get the where, but we don't get the why. We don't get the reason. And people lose their value. And we're so focused on what we can get from a situation and how a situation pleases us that we forget that we are here for a purpose. And we are here for the commission that God has given us. They're following His instructions, but not fully. And so the good news is that Jesus comes and reminds them, "Hey, look, all authority's been given to me, and there's a reason. You're supposed to go and make disciples." I like how He says, "Don't go make converts." Because some places are so just bent over themselves with numbers. He's not talking about numbers. He says, make disciples. Discipleship is a process. Discipleship is a relationship. You know that discipleship is happening when disciples make other disciples. Okay? And so, as I thought about this, I thought, are we really doing that? Are we as a church, and if we're trying to see that there are some things, I know this is a really bad name for a sermon, things that ought to be. What are you talking about? There are some things that really ought to be. We ought to be evangelizing. Well, Pastor, that's what we pay you for. No, that's not what you pay me for. Okay? That's not my calling. I do, but that's not just my calling. That's all of our callings. And so my first point for our message today is that we ought to be sharing the message of Christ because He told us to do so. Okay? And in the Great Commissions, again, we can go to where Jesus wants us to go, but are we fully doing what Jesus wants us to do? We can get so focused on this where that we miss out on the why. And I believe that a lot of this has to do with our willingness to be sensitive to God and the needs of people around us. And boy, as the United States, we so miss that. We are such a narcissistic, self-focused culture. You know, everyone just chooses of what they want and their preferences and their wants rather than understanding it's not just about me. And that's such a countercultural message that the church has forgotten. So we really have to be sensitive to that. Most people, as we move forward, get oblivious to the needs of people around them. So as we're talking about evangelism today, I know it's a big word and it sounds intimidating to share Christ, to tell somebody about Jesus and what He's done in your life. And many of you think, well, that's just not my calling. I mean, sir, I'm not going to ask a show of hands, but if I say, hey, you know, are you called to share Christ? I would say that the majority of us are going to say, no. And I want to challenge that today. I want to challenge that thought today because we have to wrestle this thing. When we're talking about this, we have to wrestle. What does the Great Commission mean? And is the Great Commission for me? Or is it only for those few disciples who are standing there listening to the actual words of Jesus in that actual day? Was the Great Commission only for them? Well, first of all, in verse 20, Jesus says, look, I'm with you always. And He says, to the very end of the age. There are still promises that we're waiting. We haven't come to that final age yet. The promises still endure. So the Great Commission still hasn't been fulfilled. And we are. It has been given to us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter is talking to the church, okay? And listen, let's all read this again together because this is good stuff. Ready? 1, 2, 3. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Gang, you were called to proclaim His greatness, His excellencies. That's why you're here. Well, little old me? Well, wait a minute here. I just don't know if I'm up for that. Gang, yes, that's why He said, I will be with you to the very end of the age. I want you to know that the Great Commission, it's for me. The Great Commission is for you. You have been commissioned. It's why you're here. Well, Pastor, I haven't been to seminary yet. Newsflash, neither were the original disciples. And they did such a good job that the gospel is still here for us today. Come on, somebody. We all struggle with that. It should not be unusual to share Christ. That's my point today. It shouldn't be unusual. Talking about things that ought to be, it ought to be that we regularly, and I mean regularly, are sharing Christ. And if that is the wow, you know, once every year I make it a point to go on a mission trip and then I share Christ and then I get back to my real life. Honey, we got a problem. We are supposed to be sharing Christ all the time. Now, with that understanding, I'm not saying that everybody is called to a pulpit ministry. I'm not saying that. Not necessarily everybody is. I'm not saying that everybody is necessarily called to go to a third world country and find some tribal people who've never heard the gospel. I'm not saying that everybody in this room is called to do that. What I am saying is some of us are. Is it you? Is it you? And before you say, no, it's not me, I want you to know that nearly everybody whom Jesus called had that reaction. Think of Jonah. I want you to go to Nineveh. I don't like the Ninevites. I want you to go to Nineveh. No, I'm going the other direction. Sound familiar? Yeah. That's our response most of the time. Moses. Hey, I'm going to go send you to Pharaoh. I can't talk. You know what? I don't care. You're still going to go. And so for all of us, we sit here and we say, no, our initial response, our knee-jerk response is, it's not me, it's somebody else. I want to challenge that in every person who's here today. You're not here to warm a pew. You are here for a mission. And some, I'm not saying all of us, but in this room with as many people who are here, some of us are called to the nations. Some of us are called to go. I didn't want to go to Cuba. I told you that last week. It wasn't. I don't sit here on my punch list and think, Cuba. It's not one of my. I want to go to a communist because that sounds like fun. No, it was a horrible inconvenience. I'm so glad that I did, even though I, like Jonah, went kicking and screaming. Now I'm going to go back, and I expect it'll be much more dangerous because I just saw in the news this week that they're heading back and some of those freedoms are being eroded, which is a really difficult thing. Please join me in praying for the nation of Cuba. So, it's important that we understand those areas, that the Great Commission is for me. And so, although we may not be called to go to the ends of the earth, maybe we're called to Jerusalem. And think about, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. This is where they're hanging out. In Judea, okay, we're close by. In Samaria, ooh, we don't like the dogs. Some of us are called to share Christ with people whom you don't like. Sorry, Cardinals fans, you're going to have to share Christ with Cubs fans. Sorry, Cowboys fans, you're going to have to share Christ with whoever else. I don't know who the great rival, Washington Redskins or whatever. Okay, so gang, we are called to share Christ with folks who are near to us, and for some of us who are all the way on the other side of the globe. I believe that there's going to be people here today, and your heart is already thinking, wait a minute, that's me. That's me. I know, you know what? I've been dodging this thing, and the bottom line is, that's me. So although you may not have this big calling, I would challenge every one of us here today, and if you'll just be honest with me, would you be open to this thing that your part is bigger than you think? Because every person in Scripture, their ministry was bigger than what they thought it was going to be. Gang, it ought to be. We ought to be sharing Christ. Which brings me to my second point. My second point is this. If I ought to be sharing, I ought to be preparing. It rhymes, I didn't mean that. It's just how it is. Some things that ought to be. We ought to be sharing, and we ought to be preparing to share. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, I love this, may be competent, equipped for every good work. The Word of God is here for us. It will equip us and it will send us. For our church, we need to do a better job of Scripture memorization. We need to be in the Word. And for those of you who are looking for a New Year's resolution, I got a real easy one for you, and it's free. You have a smartphone? Download YouVersion. And there are Bible reading plans. Some of them are, you just say, evangelism. I want to search a Bible reading plan on evangelism, and they'll give you, 5-day, or an 8-day, or a 3-week. For some of you who want to read the Bible in 3 years, okay, that's a manageable task. It will set it out, and it will give you your Scriptures every day. But we need to be in the Word every day. Come on, every day. Every day we need to be in the Word. And if we ought to be sharing, we better know what to share. Now, what we do with our youth here, what we do with the youth group, we started several years ago. It's very, very simple. It's very, very simple. Gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L. G. Anybody remember what G stands for? G, God. Come on, somebody. Oh, my heavens. What does G stand for? God created us for a relationship with Him. Pretty simple. You know, yes. Oh, fantastic. He's got it over here. All right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, our youth group people should have this. Yeah. We understand that. That's the whole reason we're here. God didn't have to create mankind, but he did. We see it in Genesis chapter 1. O stands for, look, our sins separate us from God. Has anybody in this room ever sinned? Okay, is there a scripture that will help validate that? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I've sinned. Anybody else? We're charter members. Let's get a club. We'll make t-shirts. Probably not the best t-shirts for us to make. And here's the problem with that is what do our sins do? S. Come on, somebody besides. Somebody. S. Our sins separate us from God. Where's a Bible verse that tells us this? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23. This is called the Romans Road. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. And then we go to this next one. P. I'm sorry, S. That's why I don't spell very well. So G, God created us for relationship with Him. O, our sins separate us from God. S, sins cannot be removed by good deeds. And boy, that's where the church messes up. You do something, do something better and it'll make it all go away. No, but we can't do that. You can't make yourself right. You can't take away your own sin. And as much as we think, wow, I did two things bad this week, I'll do three things good and I'm good with God. The best thing you can do is come fall on your knees and understand that in our own ability, we cannot remove our sins. In fact, what we find out is in Hebrews chapter 9:22 says this, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. You can choose to shed your blood or Jesus shed His blood for you. Which brings us to the next one, P. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. What's a scripture that tells us about that? It's a big one, Romans 5:8. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And somebody's like, wow, you have all these scriptures memorized? It's not that hard. Oh, I couldn't do that. You can tell me the baseball statistics for your favorite hitter. You can make a recipe by heart. You know how many eggs to use. The things that you're passionate about, you will put the brain power into. And I'm begging you guys to get passionate about Jesus. Really. Things that ought to be. E, everyone who puts their full trust in Jesus will have eternal life. John 3:16, we sang it. Okay? We sang all about that. About Jesus' love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And L, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. You see how easy that is? I'm not telling you. You see, people do this and they're like, you just are trying to tell us to be weird to our coworkers. You're already weird. I was having a conversation with somebody like, well, I don't want to become one of those church people because those church people are weird. I'm like, look, they were weird before they came to church and then they're weird afterwards. Weird people were weird before they got Christ, okay? I'm not telling you to put the sandwich board on. I'm not telling you to ring a bell and tell them, repent, the end is near. I'm not telling you to be a jerk. I'm telling you to love sinners the way that Christ loved them. How did Christ love them? He looked at them. He loved them. He saw their needs. He ministered to them. He didn't expect anything in return. And some received and some didn't. Some will receive and some didn't. But you do not want to stand at the end and think, I never did my part. The Great Commission is for all of us. The Great Commission is for you. The Great Commission is for me. And for, please, gang, don't make the mistake that I did. See, there's many people who will never, I didn't get led to Christ by a preacher. I got led to Christ by a chain-smoking, overweight guy who was a lot of fun, who in a parking lot of a campground. Well, that makes sense now, Pastor Michael. Now it's a lot of things are falling in place. We knew something was wrong about you. I had a big issue with preacher people. I had a big, big issue with them. I struggled. And there are many people, when they find out that I'm in the ministry, they don't want anything to do to talk with me. Because they're done. Oh, you're one of them. You walk in, oh, they're talking, you know, and you walk in, oh, sorry to talk like that around you. God's with you all the time, knucklehead. How about you straighten up for that? Just be yourself around me, and how about we just deal with the real you, okay? So, gang, your life, it's important for you to understand that we need to be preparing and And in doing your part, our third point, my final point today is this. It's not my job to save, it's my job to share. The reason many of us don't share Christ is because we feel that, what if I do something wrong? What if I mess it up? If you read how horribly people did their job in the Bible is full of people who did stupid things. And God uses imperfect vessels all the time. All you have to do is be willing. There are times that I have botched trying to lead someone to Christ. There are times I've shared a message and I get done and I'm like, what was I thinking? I'll go home and I'll tell Renita, that was the worst sermon I ever did. I almost fell asleep while preaching it. And I don't know how anyone else could do it. And I'll get home and those inevitably, the ones I think that was the most horrendous, what was I thinking? I will get an email saying it was just something about this phrase. It was bam. It's not about you. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how effective you are. Will you be willing? And the reason we're not is we think the Great Commission doesn't apply to us. And I want to tell you today, yeah, I want to tell you today that some of us are being called out of state. Some of us are being called to share to our friends. Some of us are being called to share to our family members. Oh, no. Yep, you are. Some of us are being called to share to that annoying coworker that drives you crazy. Some of you, there are people who bully you. There are people who are just downright mean and nasty. And you think, boy, it'd just be better if they weren't here. I'm going to tell you the reason that people hurt people is because they're hurt. Hurt people hurt people. And maybe, just maybe, they need Christ. And God has sent you, and you are, don't Jonah, don't run away. Don't Moses, blah, 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 blah. The Great Commission is for all of us, brothers and sisters. It's not your job to save. Romans 10, 13 through 14. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how are they to call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So gang, your life is a sermon. We can all share Christ. Again, that is not, that my job is to not do your job. And for a long time, that's what the church has done. The church has felt like, you know what, we want to hire a good speaker, a charismatic person, and we're going to send them to do our job for us. Shame on you! You want me to get your reward and judgment? That got real quiet. No, you come on, you give it to me, no. Seriously, gang, let me walk with you and help equip you and help train you up. But don't forget, you are called to share. You are a Great Commissioned people. And my final thought here is God uses the imperfect if they're willing. I hope that through our conversation here today that you have recognized that the Great Commission is for you and that the Bible is telling us all that we are to share God's wonderful extravagancies. We're to share the uniqueness of God and God's love in unique ways. Because God told us to do it, and because He told us to do it, we need to get busy. We need to set some goals spiritually. We need to be drinking the Word in and memorizing Scripture and preparing ourselves. And it's although we don't save, it is our job to share. It is all of our jobs to share. It's my job to share. It's your job to share. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I praise you for your word that's living, it's active, it's sharp. And God, I pray today that there are people in the room whom you are calling. You are calling to use in fantastic ways. You're calling to use in some very powerful ways. You're calling them to use behind the scenes. Some of us, God, you're just calling us to do a simple thing of be kind to someone. You know, buying someone's meal in the drive-thru behind and letting them know that God loves them. Father, in all of the unique ways that each one here in this room has been called, I pray for courage to come upon them. That they would not settle back and believe smaller than what you've called them to do. I pray, God, for boldness for those who you are, in fact, calling out of the state and out of the community and out of the country into to dangerous places. I pray, God, for boldness. I pray that even now as the Holy Spirit is moving upon their hearts, I pray, God, that You would give them the faith to just step up and say, here I am, Lord, send me. Lord, move us. I know these things ought to be. I know we ought to be sharing the gospel. So we are asking for a passion to share Your love. Make it so, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. God bless you, my church.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.